Hello, we are talking more about the recovery and wellness coaching relationship. There is a slideshow and an accompanying PDF file, and you should open that, please, and follow the slides with me as we go through this podcast. The slides start obviously at number one, so if you could get number one open and ready now, that would be terrific. So some of you might recognize this slide because it is on our website and it is also used in some of our webinars. This slide really shows our approach in the sense that we are making a clear distinction between these three areas in this model: wellness at the top, recovery in the middle, and treatment underneath. And as you will have obviously realized, we talk about ourselves as being recovery to wellness or recovery and wellness coaches because we want to be thinking about the fact that there is a difference between wellness recovery or the approaches and thinking in wellness and recovery, and there is an important shift in this journey that people take from recovery to wellness that it requires us to think about it in this kind of way. So we are also going to be taking a look in this podcast at the treatment area. And the overall idea is to understand where our work fits as coaches and what the significance is of working in these three different areas. So, if you could now please go on to slide two, we will talk a little bit about the wellness area. So, the wellness area is where we are thinking about people primarily from the perspective of wellness. So the idea here is that a lot of people are functional. A lot of people are not, if you like, obviously unwell or ill. They are not obviously in need of a recovery process necessarily. They are not possibly even aware that there's anything major that they want to change in their lives. And in this area, we tend to sort of have a lot of that thinking, which is aligned with wellness and well-being about, eating the right food, good nutrition, managing our stress, work-life balance, perhaps increasing our exercise, increasing, other general overall wellness factors. And people in this area are people who are possibly going to go into the recovery area. And some people in this area are also going to end up in the treatment area. So we are fundamentally looking at, and our point of view is really one of wellness. Now, coaching is an extremely productive and important and useful way to work with people in the wellness arena. But in this arena, there are certain considerations that need to be brought to bear, which are to do with motivation for the person you're coaching, what is it that they're trying to do, what is actually driving them. And because most people in the wellness area are not driven by crisis, and we're going to come to talk in a minute about crisis, most people in the wellness area are not driven by crisis, there is a different kind of urgency to how they engage with changing their lives. Now, our meaning-centered model that we've been looking at earlier on in this program is absolutely appropriate to people in the wellness arena. And often what you find is people in that area, in that band, actually do have quite a lot of connection to meaning, are probably living, to some extent in alignment with that. And so it's not such, if you like, such a despairing kind of environment that you sometimes find further down this graph in the recovery, and certainly you do find down in the treatment environment. The wellness approach really is where people are concerned with more looking at their lives of prevention. How do they actually increase their wellness and well-being? They're not really thinking about getting back to wellness. They're not really even sort of in a perspective that they've fallen out of the wellness. They consider themselves to be wellish, if you like, but perhaps want to be more well. However, as I said, a lot of people there are actually slowly and incrementally, of course, moving down the wellness curve into in that line, you can see the sort of green line which merges into a pink line, and are actually traveling through that. And often people don't realize that that's what's happening. If you think about the development, for instance, of certain behavioral driven health problems, like, for instance, diabetes or alcohol misuse or depression and so on, generally speaking, these develop incrementally over time, and we don't necessarily have any significant markers or flags for them until we start to move into the recovery area. And by the time we're seeing significant markers and significant signs, a recovery process, or should I say a thinking about starting a recovery process, does become more appropriate. And we're going to talk about that in a minute when we go on to look at the next band, the recovery band. But in the wellness area, people may well be moving slowly down into these kinds of healthcare challenges, but don't really have it on their radar. Or they have it on their radar, they have it in their conscious minds in such a way that they sort of know it. So you hear quite a lot of, I know I should drink less, or I know I shouldn't do this, or I know that my diet isn't very good, or so on and so forth. But there isn't really any kind of key way for them to understand or close the gap between knowing that and actually making the changes. In this wellness area as well is where there is a lot of thinking at the moment and approaches over the last few years about sort of nudging technology. How do you actually generate weller or more well behaviors in people to stop them going down into the recovery zone? And certainly later on in this course, we're going to be looking at this from the organizational wellness perspective and the implications for how we can keep people well versus how we can bring people up from recovery to wellness again, and what the implications are for organizations. But for the moment, we're going to be thinking about this primarily from the perspective of the individual. So we coaches are working in this wellness area, and it's part of our skill set to be able to be with our clients from the wellness perspectives. Now, if we start working with somebody in the recovery area, so we start to work with someone who is in a recovery process or has just initiated or wants to initiate recovery process, if it is successful, this recovery process, they are going to end up back in the wellness zone. That is the whole point. They want to get into a recovery process where they come back to well-being. They come back to a life of feeling well. So we, as their coach, need to be able to travel with them. We need to be able to work with them where they are at in, let's say, the recovery zone, or perhaps even in the top of the treatment zone, and actually coach them appropriately to get into the wellness zone. And then we want to be able to make that adaptive change to be in the wellness zone. So we need to think about ourselves as both recovery and wellness coaches, and think about ourselves as being able to work right across this continuum. So let's go to slide 3 now and look at the recovery area. So in the recovery zone, as I've just said, when I referred to it in when we're talking about the wellness zone, in the recovery zone, people actually do need some kind of recovery process. What this means is that what works in the wellness zone, the minor alterations, the nip and the tuck, the nudge here and the nudge there, and so on, isn't actually going to be sufficient for their recovery process. What it means is that they have become impacted to such a degree that thinking about it as a low threshold problem will not serve them in terms of what they're trying to get done. In the recovery area, there are all sorts of people across all sorts of healthcare challenges. We have people who've been diagnosed with chronic illness for the first time. There are people who have been diagnosed perhaps with type 2 diabetes, with cancer, who perhaps are severely stressed or depressed, who have mental health challenges. They are people who are actually now confronted with the experience of this healthcare challenge in a way that has become the focal point of their lives at this point. I.e., they are now somebody who considers themselves to be dealing with this healthcare challenge or needing to integrate this health condition within the overall context of their life. In the recovery area, there is usually high levels increasing levels, should I say, of anxiety, of crisis, of existential questioning. When people are confronted with their own mortality, their own death, if you like, particularly when they're told that they've got a chronic illness, that if something doesn't happen, is going to be either very debilitating or become very debilitating or become fatal, this really is a profound shift for people. So in this area, there is a, if you like, I call it a raising of the stakes about humanness and being a human being. The stakes are also raised, of course, for all the people around them, because their significant relationships are suddenly drawn into this this problem. So spouses, partners, children, parents, close friends, co-workers, the whole system, if you like, suddenly becomes impacted by the event that is taking place with the individual. So this brings for the individual also another set of consequences, if you like, of where they are at. Think about it like this. In the wellness zone, if you go to your partner or the people close around you and say, I need to drop a few kilos because I can see that I'm getting a bit overweight, it's a kind of pretty obvious statement. We heard it lots of times. Everybody knows, that's one of the things that we have to do sometimes is weight management. It's not considered a crisis, and we may or may not get any particularly strong emotional response to that, or we may not get any particular support for it either. We could be met with a lot of indifference. In the recovery zone, it changes because, for instance, if we're faced with a chronic illness that requires us to take some action, like, for instance, changing our diets, getting very, getting as fit as we can, as quickly as we can, losing a lot of weight and so on, and these are the kinds of the remedies that need to take place, or else there's going to be this catastrophe, and this catastrophe could mean dying. Suddenly everybody, is triggered into a very different kind of response to the response that they had in the other scenario in the wellness zone. So, there's a whole lot more going on in this recovery arena, which has to be thought about and has to be managed by the individual and has to be considered. And this is where I refer to, the stakes getting higher for the client. This is also where the stakes get much higher or very high for the coach, because this person is now looking for the resources, the partnerships, the road, if you like, back to wellness or up back into the wellness that is now the end goal of a recovery process. So this is something that has become extremely important. The most important thing about it is if they are not successful, then there may be pretty dramatic and difficult consequences. In some kinds of healthcare challenges, which are really behavioral driven, and fundamentally the recovery process is a behavior change, lifestyle change management process, the stakes are incredibly high. When we think about, for instance, alcoholism, substance misuse, extreme depression, these kinds of things, the consequences for us, not just for the individual, are bad enough, but they're also for the people around them, their family, their wives, their communities, loss of productivity, financial stress, and so on. So there are a lot of consequences that can be experienced here. So coaches need to be on their strongest mettle, if you like, and need to be really thinking about this in this very high-stakes way. So we now want to go on to slide four. Now, in slide four, we're looking at the treatment zone. So we are all pretty familiar with the idea that once something serious happens, what is often needed is treatment. Treatment means medical intervention. So it means either a physical intervention, which might involve anything from surgery to physical therapies through to drug treatments, some kinds of radiation perhaps, or chemotherapy, those kinds of things. In the treatment zone, this is the medical approach, the medical model in full cry. There may also be here what I call medically driven psychological therapies, which are about perhaps rehabs or remedial psychotherapy or remedial therapeutic processes. So this is the treatment zone. In the treatment zone, there is a lot of functioning breakdown. There is a usually extreme crisis, a lot of consequences for everybody, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. And in the treatment zone, the way that people think about their lives and their world is also quite profoundly different to how they would be thinking about it in the wellness zone and might have been thinking about it in the recovery zone. We coaches sit, if you like, at the top of the treatment zone. As I've said before, and I never tire of making this point, coaching is not a treatment. It is not an alternative treatment. It isn't something that happens that you do instead of getting treatment. Coaching, recovery and wellness coaching, is a support and a gateway relationship for people who are having these experiences. So we can actually be traveling alongside our clients whilst they are going through the process of treatment and recovery to wellness journeys. And we're going to look at that on a slide in a moment. It's important for us to understand that the treatment zone exists because we need to understand what the limitations are of coaching here and what the requirements are for the individual. Coaching in the treatment zone or the edge of the treatment zone when we have a client who's in that acute phase can point to wellness, it can point to a future, and it certainly is appropriate when appropriately done to bring in meaning-centered coaching principles and so on. But usually people in the treatment zone, we have to work with them in a very specific and focused kind of way to meet them where they're at, as they say. Now, a lot of people, and traditionally it has never not been considered that coaching was an appropriate relationship to bring into play in the recovery and treatment zones. If you think about it, most coaching schools say that as soon as something comes along, like I'm drinking too much, or I've got a medical issue, and so on. This is like, cue for this isn't really a coaching issue, this is a medical problem. Our model specifically swims against that tide of thinking, and we realize actually that coaching is a very, very important part of the landscape of working with people to develop recovery to wellness journeys. And the way that coaches work and the way that we can approach partnering with our clients to go on this journey with them and give them coaching-driven support is incredibly useful and important. So I push back very specifically against that idea. But of course, what makes it easy for us to understand is for us to make the clear distinction between the fact that we do not give treatment. We are not therapists or counselors. We do not offer psychological therapies. We are coaches. And so there is no idea that we, as recovery to wellness coaches, as we train it, are stepping into the shoes of another practitioner but putting a different label on it. So that is a very, very clear point, and something that we're going to come back to later in this course when we look at referring and we look at our relationship with other kinds of practitioners. Okay, so please go on to slide number five. And I'm going to take you through the next few slides fairly quickly. But these slides, again, help us understand and illustrate some of the ways that coaching sits. So slide five shows the continuum curve with a descent on the left and a rise up, if you like, on the right. And the little man, little red man there that you can see, is traveling down the descent, down the shoulder, towards the bottom of the curve, which is in the treatment zone and in the crisis zone. And the round red circle with the R in it denotes our recovery and wellness coach. So we coach people, if you like, broadly speaking, along the lines, if you follow with your eye the red R, the red circle with the R in it, we pretty much work, and that's our range, between actually the two black dotted lines. Now, we can see that when we get down to the bottom line, we can see that sometimes our clients are dropping into the treatment zone. This diagram shows that we don't go into the treatment zone in the sense that we are not giving treatment, but we sit in partnership, if you like, with them whilst they are receiving treatment and services from other practitioners, and we're helping them by coaching them and holding a focus with them about that experience as they go through it. When they come up from that treatment phase, when they start to enter into their recovery process and start to rebuild their lives, which is what is denoted on the right-hand side, then we are working with them and we are traveling up that curve with them. Now, of course, sometimes people don't always make it up the curve. And if you see down in the red band below, you can see that there are those white circles with the red people in. And really, this is denotes that some people are not necessarily able or don't readily get a recovery process underway and remain, if you like, cycling through in the treatment zone, i.e. kind of permanently in treatment. Now, these people are, you know, typically always in crisis and are sort of systemically stuck in their own system and in our literal system of treatment. And often they struggle to get out of it. Sometimes we, as you can see to the right-hand side of the diagram, you can see that we work with people to go up, and then there's a loss of recovery. So if you like, there's a loss of the volition or the movement for recovery, and they drop back down again. So this isn't, you know, recovery isn't a linear process. And the next diagram, which I'm going to show you, which I'd like you to go to now, illustrates this, that it isn't, of course, a lovely smooth curve going down and up. It's looks a lot more like slide number six, which you could go to now. So a similar diagram, but here again we can see if you look at the yellow line, which is the client's line, you can see that these kinds of dips in the there's these like teeth, if you like, coming down. Now what these do, these denote, is the fact that, you know, sometimes the sort of, you know, clients will drop down, they'll get a bit worse, and then they'll sort of come back up again and so on. But often the overall trajectory is down. The red line, again, that's the kind of pathway that we would be taking as coaches. And the green line actually donates a very powerful idea, which is that not everybody needs to go down into the treatment zone. So what we mean by that is that through the right kind of support and help, and I would argue primarily coaching driven, an individual doesn't necessarily have to experience such a dramatic impact of their healthcare challenge that they have to go right down into the treatment zone. And one of the great promises, I think, of recovery to wellness coaching is that it can interact with people from a coaching point of view much earlier in their development of their healthcare challenge. Now, what's important about this as well is that treatment services and what we think about as treatment services, so the services in our community and the services that we as citizens fund through our taxes and which are provided by our government and local authority, are all standing in the treatment zone. They fundamentally, our perspective or our view on healthcare is one of dealing with the severe problem when it turns up. And if there isn't a severe problem turning up, then there isn't a problem. What we want to be thinking now is, well, how do we actually get further up the curve so that we can actually start to impact on these healthcare challenges before they become acute and chronic? And of course, a lot of thinking is now going into answering this question. I would argue that what we should be doing is giving people a lot greater access to coaches, recovery and wellness trained coaches, way, way earlier on in the difficulties that they start to develop. People do not become type 2 diabetic overnight. They do not become chronically depressed overnight. They do not become alcoholic, certainly overnight. They do not become chronically addicted overnight, and so forth and so on. These are all processes which happen over time and build up incrementally. And we only start to really notice them when they become acute. This diagram then shows the possibility, and one of the ambitions and aims of working with someone is to actually shift the curve for them from their interaction with getting a good coach can actually help them swerve, if you like, going down into that critical zone. If you could now go on to slide 7. Slide 7 again is the same diagram as before, only without all the writing, and you can see again that the little chap is possibly going to take the green journey, or is going to take the yellow journey, then come back up, or is possibly going to take stay in the treatment zone altogether. Slide 8 is zooming in a little bit on these jaggedy little bits. And I just want to draw your attention to the green line there. You can see there's two little jagged drop-down pieces there. Again, what we want to be thinking about and understanding is that none of these processes are just absolutely linear. You know, people don't just start a recovery process and psh, it's all up here, you know, all up from there, then there's no setbacks and so on. Of course, there are setbacks and challenges. There's wrong turnings. There's sometimes, they go back in, sometimes they revert to some behaviors and lifestyles which they're trying to move away from and change and so on. So we want to just be realizing and thinking about it in a more nuanced way. But basically, coaches, recovery and wellness coaches, can cope with this, and this is what we want to be thinking about as our role, traveling with people on this bumpy journey. If we now go to slide 9, we can see a close-up of the center of the diagram again, showing more clearly for us the fact that the overall ambition is to keep people above the red zone. And then if we go to slide 10, we can see that, again, this more easily allows us to look at the fact that there are a variety of outcomes which can take place. Sometimes people come up, then they go back down, they come up and they go down, and so on. So it really is quite a dynamic set of potentials. Now, in summation, to sum this up, recovery and wellness coaches work right across this arena, from the top, across the wellness band, across the recovery band. We do not replace treatment, but we sit alongside the treatment area, and we can coach people into it and then coach people as they come out of it, and indeed whilst they're going through it. So we want to see the role as actually very wide ranging and very dynamic. Okay, the last slide we're going to look at is slide 11. This is a graphic to help us understand the gateway relationship idea. And this also is a snapshot of the recovery and coaching, recovery and wellness coaching relationship. And I'm not going to go into this too in detail here. have a look at the diagram, bring any questions you have to it to the next teleclass. But I just want to point out a few things that are important in terms of what I've been saying before. So first of all, what we can see is that the green dots, these green dots represent, if like, all sorts of things in, that are out there in the world that an individual can connect with that will in some way impact on their life. The idea of human experience, the commonly experienced realms of human existence. So housing, for instance, everybody has to have somewhere to live. Their overall health, so that's, you know, their overall sort of, you know, level of health. Do they engage, are they employed? Do they engage in self-help, you know, activities, or are they members of self-help groups? Do they have some kind of mind-body-spirit practice, maybe yoga, mindfulness, and so on? You know, that will have some impact and so on. Do they have a good relationship with their physician? They have relationships with their families and so on. You know, what is their love and physical relationship like? Do they go on holiday? What is their friendship like? There are lots of things in everyone's life that are all, if you like, contributing in some way towards that person's experience of their life. Pretty obvious. Whilst people are in recovery, of course, how they are using and how they are connecting with these parts of their life is how they're building their recovery, because those resources in the community will be affecting and either supporting or not supporting their recovery to wellness journey. Now, the recovery and wellness coaching relationship, which is represented here in the middle by the round white circle, contains both the client and the coach, and the coach is the round blue circle, who, and the coach is recovery orientated, and we're going to look at that in the next section, I think. The coach and the client are in a relationship there, and what is happening is that that relationship is, if you like, sifting through the client's experience of the world that they've just come from into the coaching conversation. So if you like, the, you know, what's happened leading up to that coaching session, and then they're making choices and making decisions based on meaning and purpose and so forth and so on, and from there they're creating actions which they're taking back out into the world, taking back out into tomorrow, if you like, and using that to explore and be in movement around developing their recovery to wellness journey. And on the right hand side, you can see there it says meaningful life. Well, this is absolutely the idea, because the overall super objective of this entire process is that a meaningful life, a life full of meaning, is being experienced by the person that you are coaching. If it is, then the way that they are engaging with all of these factors in their life will, of course, be influenced by that and will be driven by that. And we're going to also be looking at that a little bit more later on. So the recovery and wellness coaching relationship has a lot of application across a wide range of the continuum. It is also this gateway relationship, because what you can see is that the coach is working with the client as they interact with all these other things. So you can see that things like treatment, self-help, therapy are all out there in the environment, and a coach might be coaching their client into therapy, or to finding a therapist, or to finding, sorting their housing problems out, or developing friendships and so forth and so on. So the coach isn't one of the green dots out there. The coach is actually the gateway to all these resources in the individual's life. So this helps us understand the positioning for this recovery to wellness coaching role a lot more.